podcast of CBS This Morning will begin after this short break.
This episode of the CBS This Morning podcast is brought to you by Toyota. Let's go places.
The all-new 2018 Toyota Camry is about the furthest thing from a Camry you can imagine.
Get ready to love it for all the wrong reasons.
Love lesson 23, how to park far, far away.
I can't see you, baby.
With its sculpted rocker panels, available integrated rear spoiler, and 19-inch alloy wheels, you're going to want to keep your Camry looking showroom fine. So pass all those close-in spaces and drive to your times on the way.
Door dings bad, exercise good.
The all-new 2018 Toyota Camry. You're going to love it.
For all the wrong reasons, baby.
Toyota, let's go places.
I'm Nora O'Donnell. And I'm Gail King. Hey, this is a CBS This Morning podcast.
Welcome to the CBS This Morning podcast. I'm Tony DeCoppel, a CBS News correspondent. Recently, the Federal Communications Commission voted along party lines 3-2 to approve the chairman's plan to reverse Obama-era rules requiring internet service providers to treat all web traffic equally. Here to help us understand what this rule change means for you is Wired Magazine's editor-in-chief and CBS News contributor, Nicholas Thompson. Nicholas, good to see you.
Good morning, Tony. How are you?
I am okay, I think, for now, although I do have grave concerns about what is going to happen to the internet. Now, I think people need to understand the internet is based on a physical thing, right? All these wires out there connecting all of these doodads that we have. And currently, as I understand it, these wires carry all packets of information without differentiating between them. You can't buy quicker passage through the system. But this rule change means potentially you could in the future, if you're Netflix, say, okay, we want our service to be faster than the Amazon Prime guy.
Right. So there are two possible concerns. So exactly as you say, there is infrastructure over which all this information flows. It's a series of pipes and cables and wires. And
a series of tubes.
A series of tubes. It is. Exactly right. That's hilarious. And not only can no information be trafficked faster, or with a few exceptions, also, there's no information that can be blocked for political reasons or for corporate reasons, right? So for me, the real concern with net neutrality is that the companies that control these pipes, you know, Verizon, AT&T, Comcast, will say not just we're going to let Netflix pay to have stuff go faster, which has its problems, but they'll say, you know what? We don't like this website because it's been critical of us, so we're going to block it, right? Or we don't like this company because it's competing with us, so we're going to block it. Or we don't like this company because it's associated with this venture capital firm, which decided not to give this subsidiary of ours money, right? You just don't know the games that are going to be played. And that's what worries me the most.
So Ajit Pai, the chairman of the FCC, he is a proponent of this reversal. What is the good faith case for why this should be a change we need?
So you can make a couple of arguments why this would be a good change. So first would be, look, why regulate these guys and not these other guys? In fact, why are you regulating the telecom companies and putting all these strict restrictions on them when actually the richest companies in America are Facebook, Google, you know, Apple, Amazon, Microsoft? Why should you put these tough onerous regulations and restrictions on poor Comcast, Verizon? So that's one argument you can make. A second is just back away. If you back away, the telecom companies will invest more. They'll build out. They'll make better pipes. Broadband in America is surprisingly bad. You travel abroad, and internet speeds are much faster. So if you assume good faith on Ajit Pai's part, you can say, look, he really wants to improve this infrastructure. He thinks this will do it. Now, personally, I believe that the arguments on the other side are vastly stronger, but that is the case for Pai.
You're right about internet service. There are vast stretches of America that have no high-speed internet access, and there's a digital divide. There's inequality in that area that is going to have ramifications for decades. But why would this change lead to greater investment in the infrastructure? Is it simply because the companies would be able to squeeze more money out of their business?
Well, you can say, A, if they're, you know, regulatory uncertainty can lead to diminished investment, right? So they may be worried that there'll be enforcement actions against it, right? If you take the police off the street, you know, people will have much more freedom. And if the thing you think they'll do if they have more freedom is invest more, then you might want to take the police off the streets. The second reason they might invest more is that they will become more profitable because they will be able to charge people for access. They will be able to cut off. They will have much more leverage. And they might take those profits and line their pockets, or they might take those profits and build bigger trenches for their fiber optic cables.
And who were the big advocates on the corporate side for this? Was it the Comcast and Verizons of the world, or was it the Netflix, Facebooks, and Googles of the world?
It's all Comcasts and Verizons of the world. And the reason—
the people who own the equipment.
People who own the equipment. And what's interesting is the sort of the political— the disparity in political power. So Comcast is a relatively small company compared to the big tech companies, right? You might think it would have less influence, except it has offices in every congressional district, right? And it gives donations to every local politician. You know, Facebook is just based in California, so they got a couple of Democratic senators and one Democratic congressman. So they have almost— they have vastly less power in Washington than the smaller telecom companies. So the telecom companies have been able to curry favor with the entire Republican Party and get them on their side. Even though American people are massively against this change, Congress is kind of in favor of it because of the way political donations work. Or one reason is because of the way political donations work.
And now these big companies, Comcast, AT&T, they have all made promises of one sort or another in which they say, look, we're not going to meddle with the information on the internet. We're not going to slow things down or speed things up. Do you believe them?
Not at all. I mean, I think that they've been fighting for this for many years. I mean, net neutrality is— the current rules are put in place by the Obama administration, but really the principles of net neutrality and different methods for protecting it have been around since the 1970s. So we've had 40 years where there have been restrictions on what the telecom providers can do. And during those 40 years, they have quite frequently lobbied to get rid of the restrictions, spoken in moments of candor about the things they would do to speed up traffic or slow down traffic, or in certain cases actually acted to block their competitors in the way their traffic flows over the pipe. So the notion that because they have promised to act good is sort of undercut by 40 years of arguing vociferously about wanting to get rid of these rules and, in fact, some bad behavior.
But is this regulatory repeal pretty weak in that Obama-era FCC put it in place, saying you have to treat everything equally? Now it's been pulled back. You don't have to treat everything equally. Are we just going to see another reversal in 4 years or 8 years?
You might. You know, the history is that we had— the way I like to describe it is that up until 2015, net neutrality was defended with, like, water hoses. And then the telecom companies were like, you know what? Those water hoses are illegal. And they went to court to try to fight them. And so the Obama FCC said, fine, we're going to defend it with cannons. And so they shifted the whole regulatory authority over how the telecom industry was regulated. And so suddenly, starting in 2015, you had much stronger protections. So there's massive backfiring for the telecom industry. They said, get rid of these light regulations, and instead they got heavy regulations. Now they've gotten rid of the heavy regulations, and we've got nothing. And not only that, the way Ajit Pai, the current head of the FCC, has done it, he's gotten rid of the heavy regulations, and he's made it harder in the future for people to put in different regulations, particularly state regulations. So it's getting complicated, but it might actually be hard for the pendulum to swing back. It's kind of like the 2015 regulations that were put in place were the sort of the best, strongest outcome, and now that that's gone, it's not clear you can go back to sort of the halfway point. Maybe.
How soon might consumers begin to see a change, and what might that change be? What's going to be the first sign of a difference?
The first thing you'll see is you'll start getting differential pricing. So, you know, sometime next year, you're going to have to pay a little extra to get access to maybe to Netflix. And maybe, you know, maybe that's not the end of the world. Netflix uses a ton of bandwidth, right? But then think about competition, right? So how is a competitor to Netflix ever going to come around if Netflix is paying for faster traffic? You can download your Netflix movies faster. It might actually lock Netflix's place in the hierarchy, and it'll be harder for competition to come around. So the first thing you'll see is pricing, and then later you might see the more nefarious stuff.
Wow. Now, if this bundling comes around, it reminds me of cable bundling.
Yeah.
Cable bundling is good for a certain kind of journalism. Cable TV channels have a lot of money just for turning the lights on, and that supports a certain kind of journalism. Is there a silver lining here for media creators, for content creators, for journalism?
If the broadband industry was competitive, right, and if there were actual competition where media companies could sell their service to one provider and not to another, right? If there were 10 broadband providers in New York City and a media company could say, you know what? We're only going to go on you if you pay us. And if you don't, customers will shift to the other 9 competitors, right? The problem is that we have monopolies. You know, this is one of the reasons why net neutrality matters so much. The telecom industry is a series of monopolies. No matter where you are, you at best have two, maybe three options for broadband. In many places, you have one, and in a few places, you have zero. Nowhere do you have 10, right? We just do not have competitive broadband. So there is no leverage for the other side, right? The only way you get situations where there's leverage is where the people on one side of the table have choices on where they can go. They don't have that. And so that's underlying it. One of the reasons why I care so much about net neutrality is because we have had terrible regulatory enforcement, and so we have these series of monopolies. So if the telecom companies start to do bad things, right, if Verizon starts to act in nefarious ways, you can't leave. You can't go to their competitor. And so that takes away one of the big checks on the telecom company.
Yeah, I've had that experience, actually. You have trouble with your internet. You think it's too slow. You call
up
and you say, you know what? Cancel it right now. And they're like, okay. And then you make some calls and you realize, in fact, your building is only wired for that provider.
Right. So now, okay, so now you're the company that, you know, provides the wires in your building decides to cut off access to your, you know, favorite website. What are you going to do?
So the big tech companies, Google, Apple, Facebook, evidently were not in support of this repeal. However, they have a lot of cash, and I can imagine them throwing that cash now at buying the actual delivery system, the pipes, the wires. Do you think you'll see that?
No, you can't.
Why?
I mean, it's too hard. Google has tried. Google has tried, in part because of these fears, to bring what's called fiber optic cables to the home and to actually get, you know, super fast connections, and they've done it in a couple of cities. But to actually build the pipes and the wires, you have to dig up the streets, right? And you can't dig up all the streets in America. So they do have all the money. There is some chance that they're going to think about this, but they're going to look at the example of Google, which has tried really hard, and it's tough. And not only that, you know, one of the reasons why Google Fiber has been less successful than it hoped is that in all these towns and all these cities, there are local legislators who are, you know, have long-term relationships with the telecom companies, and so they make it very, very hard for anybody to come in. It is extremely hard to make the broadband market competitive because the monopolists who have the power right now also have the political power. So maybe through coordinated action, all these rich telecom companies, all these rich internet companies could fix this, but I don't think so.
If you're a citizen out there who is appalled by what you're hearing and want to take some sort of action, what recourse do opponents of this repeal have?
Well, the best solution would be some sort of bipartisan congressional bill that said Republicans and Democrats, you know, smart Republicans, smart Democrats who can work across aisles, who understand technology, will come up with some law that says telecom providers can do this, but they can't do this, right? They can, you know, for example, they're allowed to discriminate traffic based on bandwidth usage, but they're not allowed to discriminate traffic based on political viewpoints, right? And that would be great, right? But for that to happen, you would need a bipartisan Congress that understands tech, right? And we're not really there. The other recourse, you know, well, there are a couple of interesting recourses. So number one, that's the best case scenario. So elect Congress people who say they will do that. There is going to be a legal fight going. You can certainly give money to one of the legal organizations like Free Press that will be fighting this. I also, and some of the people I talk to, I think I'm crazy. I have yet to hear Donald Trump say anything on net neutrality. And I can't imagine that, you know, if presented with the full facts, I mean, obviously because the Democrats are all riled up about it, he's going to sort of have the opposite reaction. But, you know, if someone out there who works for Donald Trump is listening right now, go in and ask him. Because honestly, I feel like there's a chance that Donald Trump might have be on the public side of net neutrality, right? Because one of the reasons to have this is so that you can get information to the entire country. And if you look at the places that have bad broadband access and that are most at risk and where there's the worst monopoly problem, that's all the red states, right? You know, if you look at a map of this country and it shows where broadband is non-competitive and therefore where the worst, you know, worst behaviors could happen, it's in Alabama, it's in Mississippi, it's in places that voted for Trump. This is not in the interest of his supporters. So, I don't know. Someone out there, go ask Donald.
All right. If you have the president's ear, please utilize it. Nicholas Thompson, I know more now than I did when we began this conversation. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening. You can watch the full CBS This Morning broadcast Monday through Saturday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. on your local CBS station.
Or you can stream it live on the CBS All Access app.